Well, good morning everybody, but actually, if the truth be known, it's Tuesday afternoon, and I just thought it would be good for us to communicate with you all as much as possible during this challenging time. So it's my intention not only to try and talk to you on a Sunday, but try and talk to you at other times in the week as well, and just bring some kind thoughts and prayers for you. We'll also look at other things over the coming weeks, like how are we going to do communion together, and I'll lead through communion stories, and I hope you begin to contribute to us as a leadership, to the things that you would like to hear from us and participate in. But let me just say, to those of you who are reading this on the notices and receiving this on Thursday morning, I just want to talk a little bit about worry. The Bible says in James 1:8 that the man who worries is double-minded. He's unstable in all that he does. And if I had to be honest, pastor or not, at present I have a number of worries. Do you know that the word worry comes from two Greek words, merizo, meaning to divide, and nous, meaning the mind. When one's mind is divided between the earthly and the spiritual, it affects his allegiance. James equally says that when one's allegiance is divided between God's will and man's will, it will cause worry. It's interesting to notice that Jesus discusses worry within the context of a discussion of a material earthly thing. When Jesus says, "You of little faith," in Matthew 6:30, our minds, I hope, are quickly drawn to an incident in which Jesus and the disciples were tossed about in a boat in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And when the disciples cried out for their lives and indicated their fear of drowning, Jesus said to them, "Oh, you of little faith." What a strange thing to say. To say to his frightened friends, "Oh, you of little faith." But I think Jesus, as your friend, would want to say to you and to me who find themselves a little frightened, "Oh, you of little faith." Why? Well, firstly, for those disciples, their faith was in the boat and not in Christ. The boat was in fact just a material object in an environmental storm that they could do nothing about. You know, any time we place too much faith in the things and the circumstances of life and of this earth, and too little things and too little faith in Christ, we too will worry about our survival as well as 101 other things. You know, my friend Jonathan Edwards, and a friend of this church, wrote in an email to me this week, "The Bible tells us what to do when we worry. The truth is that from time to time all of us worry, and we all need to know what to do when worry comes knocking at our doors." Well, you know, the Apostle Paul's answer is simple. Really simple. And Paul says we need to pray. There it is in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will then guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, Paul sees prayer not as an occasional religious duty, but actually as a daily way of life. He urges his readers to commit everything to God in prayer, and that is the best antidote to worry that the world has ever heard. Once you and I confidently commit our concerns to God, you and I, we have nothing left to worry about. And the result is absolutely wonderful. It's the gift of peace. And very often we think of peace negatively. Peace, say, is the absence of war, the absence of noise, the absence of clamour or pressure. But you know, the Bible sees peace positively. Peace is the presence of God in our lives, and it leads to blessing wherever it goes. Peace is strong and resilient precisely because it is an overflow of the nature of God. And when we have received God's peace, It guards our hearts and our minds, and it keeps us safe whatever life throws at us. I promise you that you and I will be tempted to worry in these coming days. But the good news is that we never need to let worries take control of our lives. There was a chap called Francis C. Ellis, and he was a businessman, and he drew up what he called a worry chart, in which he kept a record of his worries. And this is what he discovered. 40% of them were things that probably would never happen. 30% of his worries concerned past decisions that he could not now unmake. 12% dealt with other people's criticism of him. 10% were worries about his own health. And he concluded that only 8% of all his worries were really legitimate. So maybe it is legitimate to live as human beings with under 10% of worry, but only if that 10% is coupled and linked to 90% of thanksgiving and praise to God. Because through that 90% of supplication and prayer, each and every one of us who know Jesus can turn to God and find his gift of peace. Jesus says it, he guarantees it, he's signed up to it. You and I can ask for that peace when we've given him that prayer. So what better hymn now to meditate on than this one that we'll now finish with this short time of devotion midweek. And may you all know, and may I know God's peace through our Saviour Jesus Christ in these coming days. May God bless you all. Bye.
Solace there in his arms. solace there. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are my solace, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it out, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.